here we go on a Friday. Thanks, everybody. When do you want to get the phone number to get people to call in? Now?
Well, maybe after the wagon goes by.
Oh, okay, the wagon. I realize that Jacob's kind of the baby Yoda of the show.
What does that mean?
I don't
know. He's manipulating you with his eyes.
That's what it is. Comes the wagon a little closer. The teeny tiny lady's being brought in by various celebrities that often seem to have anger problems. In this particular case, Gordon Ramsay has had the job of dragging the wagon through the newsroom and then right in here. Girl, it's a little closer to the microphone. We get a chance to listen in to Gordon and teeny tiny there is the conversation.
But let me just tell you, what I've witnessed in the last 3 hours here.
Please, go away.
Hello, you can shake your head and run off again. This time, don't dare. Blame me for this chaotic mess.
Wow. Teeny Tiny asking him to go away?
Yeah. She's getting a little assertive in these hashtag MeToo days.
All right, now. I don't know why we had to do that for the phone number. It's like there's some sort of order to the show. No. Got to do the Teeny Tiny and then the phone. Okay, 1-888-973-5476 1-888-973-5476 Get on the phone to get on the air. We asked you 5 questions. The stories we covered all week. All you have to do is get 1 or 2 right. If you agree with me, you got it 3 or 4 right. If you agree with Tom, it means you're smarter. And you're going to win yourself 2 tickets to Seattle Opera's Eugene Onegin.
Onegin.
Ah. It's a breathtaking musical by
Tchaikovsky.
Thank you. The Russian Romance is its finest, coming to McCall Hall this month. Information, of course, can be found at seattleopera.org. Plus, you're going to win 6 tickets to
The Boat Show, The Boat Show.
That's on January 24th, inside and outside CenturyLink Fields. South Lake Union, visit theboatshow.com for tickets. Okay, 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone, get past Jacob, call him Baby Yoda, see if that works for you, and then you get on the air. All right, let's see. Stories to take care of here at 11 o'clock, heading into Friday, end of the weekend for you. SPD, Seattle Police Officer, fires. SPD fires the police officer after a profane social media post critical of illegal immigration, attacking Clinton and Obama. I didn't see the Clinton Obama. I only saw the post. I only saw the story talking about the fact that the officer is holding up middle finger, saying something like, "You know, if you love immigrants, illegal immigrants so much, why don't you take them into your own home? You blank."
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Okay. So if you didn't get to see the. One of the offensive the things deemed offensive and breaking Seattle Police Department's rules, he shows a photograph of a package bomb and the message, "I don't condone sending package bombs, but God, it would be nice for Hillary and anti-cop Obama to finally STFU. Maybe Obama will stop lying and claiming the good economy is from him." Yeah, and another one, you see, he raises his middle finger to the camera and suggest that, you know, not only if you support illegal immigrants, you know, you basically are, and then it's an expletive, so we don't even know what they had to say.
They set a rule back in 2015 basically explaining that you can post what you want, but you're not allowed to mark something, share something, or like something. Just put up what you ever want to put up.
Yeah.
Don't forward anything. But even putting stuff up, it would seem to me that it's a liability to the police.
I know. It doesn't seem worth it.
No.
So if you're a cop, it's just like in a lot of circumstances, if you have a job, why do you need to post things? Now, you can disagree. It's the idea that he appeared to endorse violence against a political candidates. That's against these rants against illegal immigrants. You could write a very non-ranty position against illegal immigration, and I don't think it would be. The problem is, it's the inflammatory language and this suggestion, and he even admitted, according to the internal investigation, and he might now, it'll be interesting to see if, now that he's unleashed, now that he's no longer with the SPD, if he will be, you know, more forthcoming with these kinds of rants or less. He says, in retrospect, in hindsight, he regrets having done that. He shouldn't have. He admitted it was unprofessional, and it wasn't. It didn't do him any good or the Seattle Police Department any good, despite his postings.
My buddy Dave the Cop often tells young cops, don't post anything. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. No. What do?
Yeah.
You only jeopardize yourself. You put something up there. Maybe it makes you feel good for a little while, but then stuff just starts to roll back on you. This has all started because remember the female police officer driving by the guy up near Capitol Hill? She said, swung a golf club. club at him, and then she, I think she went in around and arrested him. He said he was using it as a cane, blah, 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 back and forth. They go into her Facebook page, and they find that she had said some derogatory things.
Yes.
So then, I think she, I can't remember what happened to her. I know she was paid on administrative leave or something. But the point is, you are like the ice machine. The ice machine is the liability. So you, the employee says to the employer, hey, the ice machine's acting strangely. It keeps leaking ice onto the floor. This is at a restaurant. The employer's like, oh, okay. The guy even writes, hey, everybody, look out for the ice machine. Right?
Yeah.
But then the sign falls down. Somebody slips and falls, sues the guy. You have prior knowledge that the ice machine was malfunctioning. You knew it. You've got the liability. Same thing. Look at this. The guy's been posting stuff up there. You had him on there, and then he went ahead and shot or killed somebody. Obviously, he's whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, this is open shut.
I think, yeah, it's a social media policy, and it seems to me that, yeah, you can endorse it or object to it, but the rule's the rule until you change it. If you have to wear shorts to work and you don't wear shorts to work, it doesn't matter if you agree with the rule or not.
Would you fire this person, Tom? First day on the work, first day on the job, oh, my God, it's so dull.
No.
She got fired.
Okay. I think people – now, if the hiring process was random – if you interviewed this person and thought this person, you know, came through strong and then said something like that, I would call her into the office and just say, okay, listen, what are you doing? Is this like, and get a sense of it. And because my hunch is if I made a good hire, the fact that she's doing this is something that you can trim her sales without losing the value of her employment.
Fire this person or not. Does anybody know where I can find a discreet hitman? Yes, it's been that kind of day.
Yeah. I think that's a sense of humor that could be allowed in certain,
fired.
Maybe not as a police officer. Anyway, I would be more lenient. I would talk to the person and said, you know, that's probably not a good look or ha ha ha. Very funny.
She is a professor at East Strasbourg University.
Oh, and she was the one who posted that or said that?
A few days later.
All the same things?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, this is why. A few days later, February 12th, there was a shooting at University of Alabama.
Okay.
So maybe they just sort of said, it's not a good look for anybody. Joe Biden has often, when they ask him, hey, you seem old, or, you know, he says, I'm going to take Donald Trump around the back in the alley and I'll punch him in the face. I'll beat him up or whatever. And I could beat anybody. I'll race you.
I could take him.
I could take him. Yeah. And then there was a guy that he was talking to. I think he called him fat by mistake. And then he said, no, I wasn't fat. I meant fact. He was challenged by this guy.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he did. But it doesn't matter. He was in this. The guy's in his 70s, and he was in Iowa, and Joe Biden got into it with the guy. That story.
No, he was 83.
Was he 83? He looked pretty damn good for 83.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he's big and fat, but he still looked pretty good for 83.
Yeah, and the guy said that, you know, basically he was kind of implying that, you know, yeah, you may be a good guy, but you're just too old for the job. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Biden, who now he regrets, like a lot of people, he says, yeah, I challenged him, you know, just, hey, sir, I challenge you to a round of push-ups. I bet I could do more push-ups than you can.
Mm-hmm.
The guy didn't take him up on it. Joe later said, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. It wasn't cool.
Miss Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard. What was her position? Was she in the Iraq War? Afghanistan
I think so,
War?
Yeah. Iraq War veteran.
Yeah.
38 years old from Hawaii.
She's on a campaign trail, and some guy in the audience says,
former Vice President Biden has randomly challenged people in the audience to push a competition, even if they're in walkers. You're a former servicewoman. You have to be in great shape. Do you think you could take them?
Come on! Look, my educated and informed guess would be yes. However, Joe Biden may have some superhuman push-up ability that nobody knows about. But I would take most people to a push-up challenge.
All right.
Okay. And then, this is pretty cool.
You think so?
If it's spontaneous.
It's not spontaneous.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, but we didn't know that at the time. Let's revel in the funness. Okay.
Jacob
didn't. Well, I mean, you can't really hear anything. If people are just cheering, should they go up and down?
So, yeah. So what happens is she says, how about I challenge you? Joe Biden isn't here. And he says, okay, I'll take you on. And they do a bunch of push-ups. And then, voila, she actually beats him.
Yeah, he gave up.
Yay, and she counts him down at 10, 9, 8 or something, you know. And now, and so that's kind of the story, that she takes this guy on and she can beat him. And now a lot of people are tweeting skeptically saying, he had at least a good 10 push-ups in him that he basically
20 more on that guy.
Is that right? Because I haven't seen it. I just read about it, that it's like now, instead of looking like, oh, this is great and how spontaneous and all this, now it kind of looks like the whole thing was a setup to make Tulsi Gabbard look good, and it's backfiring on her, and now she looks worse, I think.
Oh, you mean that the guy intentionally set it up with the question and everything? Let's have somebody challenge you.
He is a Tulsi Gabbard fan, and so he brought that, oh, this will be great, this will go viral, show what a strong woman she is.
Yeah.
And now people are saying, that guy gave up. He gave her the win.
Yeah, so they're just trying to get some sort of viral momentum going.
That's the suspicion. Now, if it turns out that he had nothing to do with it and he really was spent, then,
No, he wasn't.
I'll tell you, I know that's what everybody who looks at it
it's
says.
It's a weird thing when you go to challenge somebody to a push-up contest, which I do all the time. if you come in, there's got to be the villain and the hero.
Yeah.
Right. And if you are the villain, you have to lose. That's what I found. But if you're the hero that's being attacked by somebody else, then you have to vanquish
the
terrible person. So I got challenged at a USO auction
really?
By this guy. Yeah. And I
Is
thought,
he mad at you, tough guy? Or do you think did he admire you, worship you,
I think
and want
I
to
was
see
stoking I... some anger out of some of these guys.
You?
Giving some a hard time. But they're all good spirits.
They are. Okay.
And they've had
drunk.
A lot of spirits. Yes. So this one guy said, I'll take you on. Because I said, I could beat any one of you for $500 in a push-up con. They're all Marines and Army, but they've been drinking since 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
It is now 7 at night.
Yeah,
right? So they are all three sheets. So this one guy stands up, stumbles to the front, and said, give me three reasons why I will beat you. And he says, I'm drunk, it's the only way you're going to beat me. And sure enough, I beat him.
Uh-huh.
And I jumped up and I tore my shirt off and then threw it over his face. And my son said, Dad, okay, you beat him.
Yeah.
That's a D-bag move.
Yeah.
But really, you took it too far when you put the shirt over his face. And I talked to my friend who's a Marine. He goes, no, that's what you do. When you beat somebody like that, you humiliate them. The next day, year, the guy came back with my shirt on. Yes, he had sewn buttons on it, was wearing the shirt.
That's hilarious.
Yes, and then I beat him again in a pull-up contest.
Wow.
Was he more or less drunk than he was the first year?
He was less drunk, but he has got big legs.
Okay.
So I got like little like bird legs. So I beat him on the bird leg. But no, it's a weird thing, a push-up contest, because you do have to be the winner.
Yeah.
You have to be assumed to be the weak guy and then beat the mean guy.
Okay.
Yes.
So if Tulsi Gabbard ever comes to Seattle, we should set that up. John Curley takes on Tulsi.
No, because you can't beat her. Just that looks bad. I had $1,000 at another auction, and I challenged somebody. The woman came up on stage, and I was beating her.
Yeah.
She was a Iraqi vet, I think, or an Afghanistan. The guy leaned forward in my ear and said, she has PTSD.
Yeah.
And it would really mean a lot to her. No, seriously.
I hope you're not saying this now out on the air and that this will get back to her, that you gave her the win.
I just forgot. We're on the air.
What do you mean, just forgot? You always forget.
I have a picture of it.
I just do not humiliate her further by exposing
the flaw.
It was
a while ago. What are the chances? I mean, what are the chances you mention an accordion teacher from 50 years ago that person's going to be listening?
Oh, my God. The reach of this show continues to amaze me, and I'm proud of that. I love that.
By the way, if you missed it, Tom mentioned that he played the accordion.
Wait, don't mention it. We're going to it'll be a big reveal in the middle of the day.
Right, okay. Right. Thank you, Yoda. The Bloomberg effect, as it's being called. Huge spending. It's transforming the 2020 campaign dynamics. This piece is in the Wall Street Journal, and Bloomberg has spent more money than all the final four combined.
75% of what everybody else has raised and spent in the Democratic primary has already been matched by Bloomberg. And that would include Trump. Not that Trump's spending that much money because he's not being challenged. But he's just basically he is spending his way, not necessarily to victory. Nobody thinks he's going to win at this stage.
Yeah.
But as somebody points out at the end of this Wall Street Journal article, hey, when Donald Trump's the president and you have one of the top, richest men in the world running against him, who knows what's going to happen. But this is how he's affecting things. And by the way, how did he become mayor in New York City? He outspent his opposition 5-1.
Yes.
When you've got money, you can afford to do that. And they say, for instance, in Houston, television ad rates jumped 45% for other candidates. Why? Because he just spent a boatload of money to buy up the ads. And because of that, Houston now says, well, listen, we only have X amount of
sure.
space left, and so it makes it much more expensive. It's really changing things. That's why they expect this campaign will be end up costing all the candidates, not just a Bloomberg, like $20 billion, which would be unbelievable. And they ask some of the experts, and they say, we really don't know. We've never seen this before. Now, remember, a lot of rich people have run for president before. Ross Perot, for instance, it didn't get him much elsewhere. Remember when Steve Forbes ran one of the richest guys? Yep. He never got anything. So just because you have money doesn't mean you're going to get anywhere in the polls. But the question is this a little different? Because this guy is not just a rich guy. Mm-hmm. He's not like Steve Forbes, who's coming into politics from outside of politics. He has three terms as a New York president, New York City mayor, and he's also been involved in social political activities like gun control and climate change, these kinds of things. So he has some credentials, but nobody really knows because we've never had it expended at this level.
I wonder who is pulling all the strings on this, because it's an interesting strategy. He is going to let Iowa happen and New Hampshire happen, and he's not going to be involved.
And Nevada and South Carolina.
Right.
Four.
He's going to let them all go.
Yep.
And then he's going to wait to see who's left standing, and then that's the guy he goes after.
Texas and California, the next weekend after those four, that's where they have the most delegates there.
Yes.
If Bloomberg all of a sudden, and this strategy has never worked in the past, but again, Bloomberg might be unique. This has never happened in the past, but he could get as many delegates in California and Texas as all the delegates that are available in New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina.
Right.
It's fascinating to see how it'll play out. And you're right. Right now, I think I don't know what you think of his attacks on Trump, but I think they've been very effective advertising. Whether it actually changes votes, we don't know, and that's the ultimate test of effectiveness of a campaign. But if there end up to be like two or three people that come out of those four states, he could then start. Right now, he's spending all of his money going after Trump. He could, like, if he decides, hey, it's between me and Biden or me and Bernie, he could direct some of those targeted campaigns against Bernie or Biden or Elizabeth or whoever else might be up, and effectively kind of cool their campaigns.
Yeah.
And you know, by a default,
he's never going to get a Bernie voter. Bernie voters actually were so mad at Clinton and the DNC and how they rigged it that they voted for Trump. Bernie voters will not get a Bloomberg will not get a Bernie vote because Bloomberg is a billionaire. And therefore, you won't see that crossover. The Bernie and the DNC, I think, are still at loggerheads. And I still believe that they do not want Bernie to be the choice. They don't want to see 1972 again. They don't want to go with somebody like Dukakis against Reagan. You don't want to see something like that. So I think the DNC would welcome Mr. Bloomberg as the candidate as opposed to somebody like Bernie Sanders.
First off, I'm sure there's some, but I don't think there are a lot of Bernie Sanders people that voted for Trump. I do think that Bernie Sanders people, since they basically saw him as running against the system, might some of them didn't vote for Hillary, and that cost her the election. I do think that if it's a battle between Bloomberg and Trump for president, do you think they would sit out? I mean, because they're like good billionaires and bad billionaires, or are all billionaires bad for Bernie Sanders supporters?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Who we have coming on to play the know-it-all quiz?
His name is Josh.
And anything else about Josh that makes him interesting?
He's a plumber.
Does he have any hobbies?
Yes and no. Some of them, I think he tried some out in high school and it didn't go so well.
Let's make three sweeping generalizations about a plumber named
Josh.
Josh. Okay, go, Tom.
He is rich.
Okay. I'm going to say he is under the age of 45. What else is that?
Wow.
What else?
I mean, with a name like Josh, he might be Jewish.
A Jewish plumber? Okay, stick around for that right back. Washington windows and doors. They're not going to try to sell you a lake. It's windows and doors that they fix. That's right. Broken seals. Or maybe the door's not sitting right. Cold weather out. That's hot air going out the window or out the door, and you got to get that fixed. Lake Washington windows and doors there for you. All right. You want to meet how do you describe this person? His name is Josh. He's a plumber. You said that he is Jewish. What else did you say, Brian?
I was guessing he might be rich because plumbers
are rich.
Do well with their jobs.
And then you piled on that stereotype with the fact that it's Jewish, because a lot of Jewish people are rich.
You forced me. What was your middle guess?
Under 45.
That he was under 45.
Let's meet him now.
Hello.
Hey, no, wait. Your name is Josh. Don't speak yet. You're 28 years old. Got that right. He lives in Seattle. He's a plumber. He didn't go to work this week. He used the snow as an excuse, even though he probably could have made it in. And in high school, boy, this sounds like a riveting story, he once ran over a tree with his dirt bike. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
All right. So Tom had you as a like 55-year-old Jewish plumber. Ever?
What an insult.
Wait, okay.
What an insult. Okay.
Well,
not meant as such.
Moving on. Hey, when you hit that tree, you land on your head. Hey, so you could have gone to work. Did the boss sense that you really weren't snowed in?
I'm not sure. I just left a voicemail.
What did it sound
smart,
like?
Too.
What did it sound like?
He's listening right now, so I'm telling him.
Do you want to name the place where you work?
Yeah, that'd be great. I work for Service Plumbing and Heating out of Linwood, Washington.
There you go. A little something for you there. All right.
Do you consider yourself as a 28-year-old rich?
Working my way there.
All right.
How about when people in high school, Josh, and you were saying, because I assume you didn't go to college, maybe went to college for a little while. When people hear you're a plumber, do you get the sense that like, oh... But then you probably hop into a very expensive car and drive away, right?
Yeah, they act that way until they need me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got any good horror stories for us?
No, just, well, one's a good one. Standing in a sewer ditch and cutting into it, and it was backed up with everything that comes out of the sewer, and it filled up to my knees.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for that. You got a girlfriend or a wife that appreciated that when you got home?
Yeah, we actually have a fiance. We just got engaged a week ago.
Okay. Ah, congratulations.
All right. Where do the pants and stuff go and the boots and all that other after that type of experience? Where does all that go? Like into
dispose of them. Just plastic bag, garbage, that's it.
That's the end of that one. All right. Well, listen, I assume you listen. I'm going to make another wild assumption that you more often agree with me than Tom. True or false?
100% true.
All right. So that means, Tom, Josh the plumber, who's 28 years old, lives in Seattle and once rode a dirt bike over a tree. How many does he have to get right?
Four, John.
You suck. Josh, listen to me. You can do this. You understand? You can do this.
There.
Yeah. By the way, you're going to win 2 tickets to the opera. So... Here we go, tone and tenor, everything changes. Josh goes to McCall Hall, and he's like, that thing flushes fast.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, what do you think about Donald Trump going on that big tear, talking about how you got to flush so often in order to get everything down those newfangled toilets? Do you remember that part of it? Were you guys all talking about that?
Yeah, I didn't I don't think he's completely educated on that fact.
Well played, Josh. Well played.
All right, here we go.
Thank you, sir.
Get him to talk to a plumber. Okay, we learned this week again that timing is everything. When is the worst time to tell your friend that your dog has been run over by a car? And by the way, we had the sound for the answer. Here we go,
okay.
Tom.
A, just seconds after he runs over the dog. B, during a play-by-play high school basketball radio broadcast. Or C, in the middle of your friend's emotional breakdown, as he screams, I'm cursed! I just look at something and it withers and dies!
C.
I hate the fact he's got one wrong.
Wrong!
Sorry. The answer is...
Well, and then there's one more. There's one more gone, but not forgotten. And that's our sweet Lucy. At the age of 12, she was run over in our driveway.
Oh! Like that? Was she run over like...
It was awful. The one guy's telling about his dog got killed.
Yeah.
And the other guy's like, hey, he got run over. Like in that basketball, like the guy just got run over to make the dunk. All right, here we go. At this point, how many does Josh have right, Tom?
He's 0 for 1, John.
You have to run the board, Josh. You ready?
Yeah, I'll get this one.
The most, you sound confident, the most newsworthy part of the otherwise lifeless Democratic debate this week happened when the debate ended. What happened that are people still talking about, Tom?
A, Joe Biden tried and failed to organize a group hug. The former vice president stood center stage, waving his arms and bellowed, everyone in, do it for Corn Pop. CNN described the attempted display of congeniality as both awkward and difficult to watch as it went on for at least 5 minutes. B. Senator Warren and Senator Bernie Sanders exchanged heated words captured off a hot mic. Or C. A few of the older candidates posed for a selfie, but after several attempts to get the phone to turn properly, they gave up.
I'd like to say A, but it's B.
Incorrect, and congratulations, Josh, winning all of it. No.
One for two, John. Darn He's it. On a roll.
Three. To get past South Korea's AI hiring robot, it is best to do this to get the job, Tom.
A, smile with your eyes. B, lick your lips. Make them excessively wet by moving your tongue in a counterclockwise motion and quietly moan. C, talk like a robot while moving your arms and legs in a robotic fashion. When stymied by a question, answer with, that does not compute, in a robot voice.
Come on, Josh.
There, good.
Hey.
Oh, my God, I'm sweating that one out. Here we go. A Houston Astros baseball team got in trouble when it was finally confirmed they were hitting what with baseball bats, Tom?
A, a baseball. B, a garbage can. The sound of the bat on the can made sound to warn batters about a pitch. And C, fans. A poorly conceived publicity stunt for a local radio station had Astro fans dressed as giant baseballs running toward waiting ball players and being struck in the torso, legs, and occasionally neck and shoulders. Astro general manager Alan Lightman said, it seemed like a good idea on paper.
B.
Yes, go, here we go. Five. This is it for two tickets. You fought hard for. You're going to go to
Eugene Onegin.
Yes, and McCall Hall. You ready?
Yes, sir.
What counts as a hobby according to me? According to me, John.
A, riding a bicycle. B, decoupage, unless you work in a Mod Podge factory. Or C, calling reporters leftist hacks.
C.
Yeah, B. I think he said B. Congratulations, Josh. As a 28-year-old plumber from Seattle, you know the McCall Hall and Seattle Opera is the finest place to be on a Saturday or whatever day you're going. Tom, tell him a little about the opera that he's going to be able to see.
It's about unrequited love. First, a woman falls in love with a man and he can't have her. Then she later is the object of his affection, and she can't have him. Mm-hmm. It's tragic romance.
Yeah, and it's he's a plumber, and unlike in those porn movies, this plumber actually gets stuff done. That involves a sink.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. wait. There's more.
There's
Josh.
More.
I'm gonna give
the
you
the boat show. Oh, the great. Boat show.
Six tickets to the boat show. Do you have a boat?
Not yet. Maybe right. This weekend.
Hey, by the way. Tell everybody how much you know plumbers that have been in it for a while. There's guys pulling down some serious buckets, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Like, give me a high number.
No.
It's okay.
Over $100,000 a year.
There we go. Good. All right, Josh, thank you. See, you when you need him, he's there.
That's right.
All right.
You're the one mocking me for thinking he's rich.
Right back. Let's see. Here comes the mailman now. Hey, mailman, come on in.
Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that. I tell you, don't do it.
Don't do that.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door, teeny tiny lady. Hello to you.
Hello.
You're going to get that letter of the day first, Tom. All the rest.
We started off the show by me bemoaning the fact that Blue Fridays are no longer with the demise of the Seahawks last week. But Nick from Orcas says the Titans are going to be the team to watch and root for. And don't forget, the Seattle Dragon season starts in less than a month. Mm-hmm. Go XFL.
Ariana in Tacoma says, doesn't John understand there are individuals and agencies that donate goods to the homeless, not to mention stuff taken out of the trash? Assuming everything is stolen is just offensive.
You're here. And Dell in Denton, hey, John, if you want your bikes and your barbecue back, just go to the cleanup collection site.
Friday show, 425. You know, the know-it-all quiz actually on a Friday, and both of you here, John injecting drugs while on the show. I'm a fragile man. I need stability. I can't deal with these constant changes. Oh, phew, the Mariners still suck.
Hallelujah. On the Martha McSally bit, 650 writes in, Tom's Senate reporter response cue cards.
Ah.
Excuse me, I'm on the way to a movie review.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me, you're blocking me from that burrito.
Yes.
Please don't touch me, you feel me?
Good. Accordion player, Andy on the road, less travel. Hey, ho, fellas, and happy friggin' Friday. Hey, fellas, I'm wondering if you know the difference between a skunk and an accordion player on the road. Well, most folks will swerve to avoid hitting the skunk. Have a great weekend.
And Mr. 253, sure, we have the right to bear arms, but shouldn't the Geneva Conventions prohibit this kind of torture? I'd pay him to stop.
It's not my least favorite instrument.
Oh, yeah? Which is? Too hard.
I'm not a fan of the clarinet.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
Don't tell Benny Goodman.
Oh, he's dead. Playing the accordion? Did you already do this one?
No.
Playing the accordion is not free speech. Accordion to who?
That's my favorite. I was not on the letter of the
day. Wow.
Yes. Accordion to who? Mm. 206. The accordion player should just put up a sign with a Venmo address there. Problem solved.
Hey, that's good. let's see. Baby Yoda. The child's name isn't Yoda, but we don't even know if the child is male.
And we don't even know.
What is this? What?
It's the same.
Yeah, it's not. The name of the character is
the
not
baby
actually Yoda.
Is not
people,
Yoda.
Everyone just calls it Baby
what
Yoda.
What is his real name?
We don't know. They just in the script, it's just referred to as the child.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And at 425, I thought you were up on this.
50 years old.
I know, where do you get that? 425, hey, John, I would agree with you, except look at Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley's daughter.
Yeah.
Wowzer. She looks just like her dad.
Yeah.
Too bad.
That is a shame. Katie in Snohomish, John, I'm with your wife. When my son was born, 2006, most beautiful newborn, had the ugliest feet I have ever seen. When the nurse said it was time to footprints and handprints for her parents' keepsake, both birth certificates, I said, no thanks. I didn't want any evidence of those gross baby toes. Now, he's still very good looking with his shoes on.
John in Arlington, ugly babies. Certain phrases just leap out to me, not for political reasons or any sentimental reasons or personal reasons, but mm-hmm. for one reason that drives me to be on the lookout for more such phrases as ugly babies.
Yeah.
I basically have some part of my brain engaged 24/7 on catching these phrases because of the joy they bring to me. Now, you might wonder, what joy? Ugly babies? Joy? Well, yes. Because that part of my brain that seeks these out and revels in their discovery is that part of my brain that I put to work about 30 years ago when I first set about trying to make up compelling band names.
Oh.
So when I hear ugly babies, I imagine seeing the flyer or hearing the announcer letting us all know who's about to play on stage. And here they are, the ugly babies.
Oh, that's good.
I love finding that moment when I can say, that would be a great band name. Thanks for the soundbite, guys.
Good. Dell and Denton says, by your definition, your show is my hobby.
Hobbies. Yeah. Meaning useless activity. Uh-huh. And Martin in Arizona. Hi, I'm Martin, and I'm a professional drinker. And I got a bone to pick with Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get off riding a bike as a hobby?
Yeah.
Huh? Hey, please don't touch me. Why don't you get a real hobby like playing in the accordion or banging a drum?
Uh-huh.
You want to go back around to the alley, John? Huh? I'd take my shirt off and challenge you to a push-ups contest and make you look like a little baby Yoda. But I don't understand. To embarrass my wife, I'm drunk.
Wow.
You know, you're probably right or possibly right. But
okay, Microsoft. Thank you, Mr. President. Microsoft Carbon Negative 253. Not derogatory at all. The real question. If Microsoft is going carbon negative, why are they investing money in oil drilling companies? Microsoft and Amazon have said they're going carbon neutral, yet they both are quietly investing tons of money in oil and gas. Climate change is a real problem. I just don't know if the motives are genuine.
It's called offset. On the Astro cheating story, 425, I'd rather see baseball fix the payroll discrepancy and level the field than punish the Astros. If they did, then I'd return as a fan. Until they do that, I have zero interest in MLB.
Tulsi Gabbard. Alicia, the body part picker-upper. Thanks for taking and talking about Tulsi Gabbard. But seriously, guys, have you seen her YouTube channel? I saw it. She's got several short videos of her working out. She is ripped. I bet you $50 she can kick your ass, John. All right. Are you all right with that, Tom? Yep, I'm trying to find the letter. There. Oh, here she is.
And now it is time for the letter.
Get the lid
of
off the jar. In order
comes
to hear
from
her.
Jerry in Linwood.
Uh-huh.
Tom and Curly just talked about taking accordion lessons from the Tranquillies. That is my sister-in-law and husband. Wow. Any chance I could get a copy of the transcript or audio, she'd be so tickled. She now lives in Canada. Fantastic. Jerry Tranquilly in Linwood, absolutely.
A transcript of this show?
Out of time. Bye-bye.